play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night.
Oh, he comes, I'm going to punch him out. This is my mom.
I would pay to see that.
I've been waiting for this, for trespassing on the
trespassing
grounds. I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy. I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy.
We'll all be happy, Nancy.
Are those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my pelvic.
Individuals who are infected through breakthrough infections, namely vaccinated people who ultimately get infected, that they are generally without symptoms or minimally symptomatic. However, it is clear that they are capable of transmitting the infection to uninfected individuals. And the data that they reported indicates that if you look at the level a virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and has a breakthrough infection and compare that to the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person who's infected, they're essentially equivalent.
Play the radio, make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night.
So we're going to have a live show today. I'm not sure anybody can hear me.
I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy.
Just not sure anybody can hear me. Not sure this thing's putting out any sound here. Now it's working. I don't know what happened there. That was weird. We're live on Podbean right now. That's the story got going on there. So
it's the feel-good hit of 2021. The podcast that brings you so much more. More of this and more of that. Just more, more, more. And it's better than ever. Best of all, it's free and commercial-free. It's the news, according to me. It even rhymes. With new and improved content, fortified with 27 vitamins and minerals. Or maybe not. Be sure to subscribe, because you probably won't want to miss any of this. But you might. Never before has so much offered so little. It's the podcast that will leave you asking questions. Like, how can I get that hour of my life back? Or, what on earth are these guys talking about? Where else can you find this kind of content, other than 90% of the internet? We're here because you're there, and I'm not even sure what that means. Be sure to like and subscribe, because you don't want to be the only one stuck in this. It's the news, according to me.
Well, there you have it, folks. It is the news, and we are live right now. It's live. That's what it is. So here we are. In the meantime, let's get started, because it's the news, according to me. Oh, just sitting here doing some headbanging, just hit my head. I guess that's why they call it headbanging, banging your head. Hey, good morning. It is Wednesday, April 1st. Just kidding. We're not really live if you're listening to this anywhere else. Right now, if you're listening to this right now, you're not listening to it live because there's nobody else listening on this channel live right now. There's nobody on board right now. There's nobody on deck. Nobody has tuned in to the channel, so... But it's live, but it's not. Not for you. It's not live. Because you're listening to it. That's how I know, because nobody else will listen to it. There's nobody. I'm not talking to anybody live right now. I'm talking to a microphone that's not going anywhere. Folks, thanks for tuning in. It is April 1st, 2026. And it is, what time is it? It's not even 9 o'clock yet. It's 8:57 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm way ahead of schedule. I'm 3 minutes ahead of schedule this morning. I'm so far ahead of schedule. I do have a meeting to get to later on, which is going to require me to, usually my live shows, you get about 30 minutes of content. Well, I was going to say the rest of it's all fluff. The content is fluff. So I don't know what the other stuff is. Pre-fluff, I guess. It's like fluffluffagus. It's like instead of stuffluffagus. I apologize, first of all, right up front about my throat. I've got some issues. I've got a lot of issues. I've got a lot of baggage. My bags are all full of issues. I have the thing I've got going on. There's this one hotel I stay at occasionally, and there have been some other people who have complained about this, who stay there, that they claim that they get there's like a mold in this hotel that they have breathing problems after they've been there. And I feel like my throat is, it's deeper than what it's just more than my throat. It's kind of a sinus, chest thing. It doesn't feel like a virus, doesn't feel like a cold. It feels like it's just it's just like an irritation thing. It's kind of a weird thing. I don't know. The air down in Dallas was very dry when I was down there. But then the hotel that I stayed at in Chicago, it doesn't have the best reputation either. There are some places, and it's just not a very well-run hotel. They just need to stop using it. The hotel itself is fairly well clean. I shouldn't even say that. It's not clean. It's newer than the other hotel. There's two hotels they used to put me in Chicago, and the one is just kind of, it's just very, very poorly run. The way they do things is just, I don't like it. There's no free breakfast. There's nothing. They charge me to park there. And on weekends, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, they charge you twice. They charge you double to park there. I'm not there on vacation. I'm there for work. And I don't like paying for that kind of thing. Anyway, I have in my cup, I have some chai with Almond Joy Creamer. That's always good. Look, is this thing working? Oh, yeah, it is. It's working. Okay. I was just checking on my AI system I've got here going on. I'm just making sure that everything's getting my transcripts. It's all going down there really well. My backup cup, I made a fresh batch of sweet peach tea yesterday, which I'll be drinking the rest of the week. I have, the peach flavor is just starting to come through. By tomorrow, it will be kind of just being about perfect, and then it'll be at its peak on Thursday. I'm sorry, on Friday morning. Today's Wednesday already. In case you didn't know, I think I already said that, Wednesday, April 1st. So we have a big month ahead of us. Now, as I said earlier in this week, I still hold to this. I think that there's going to be a breakthrough in the Straits of Hormuz or Hormuz, whatever it's going to be. This whole war thing with Iran, I think there's going to be a major breakthrough. We may not even hear about it on Friday. It may be next week before we hear about it. But I think that this week there are some things going on behind the scenes that I think we're going to find out about. Now, having said all that, before I get into too much of that, we have to take our little interlude, because we do this little interlude right before we get into the heavy stuff. Get all this morning business taken care of, and we go into the heavy stuff. So we're going to do that right now.
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news, the news. According to me, it's the news,
it's the news.
The happy news.
According to me, oh, it's the news,
it's the news.
It's the news,
it's the news, yeah.
According to me, it's the news,
it's the news.
According to me, it's the news. According to me.
Yeah, I got the old pen tapping here. We got a few things to talk about. Let's just dive right into it, shall we? Because we don't know. Now, by the way, if you happen to be on the Podbean thing, I'm not going to have that screen up. So I've got only one screen. Working with one screen. I'm kind of limited. I'm going to change the whole. Well, this chair is really getting bad. I got to change the whole operation down here, including my chair. I got to change that because it's just getting too squeaky. Squeaky chair got going on. We're going to start in right here. Elena here, see what she has.
Thanks
to
for
say.
Taking my
yeah,
call,
hello.
Kevin.
Yeah,
I just felt like I needed to call in case you wanted to chat with a historian.
Well, yeah,
I know
of course
you're not one, and I am one.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
probably the only one who will ever call this show.
Probably.
So here I am.
Yeah. Well, here you are. Thanks for being here. I appreciate you calling me Kevin. That's unusual. You just kind of usually talk over me and don't say anything. Historically speaking, from a historical mindset, and since you are a historian and you like to remind us of the fact that you're a historian all the time, you tell us that you're a historian. What is it about a historian? Do you just get like a check in the mail for being a historian? Is there kind of a job that you do as a historian, or what kind of job do you have? I guess that's the question. What kind of job do you have as a historian? Are you a librarian? When I think of a historian, I guess, are you a professor at a college or something, or what do you? You just sit around the house saying, I'm a historian.
Well, Kevin, yeah. as a historian, uh-huh. I've dedicated my life to studying the past and yeah. connecting it to the present.
Uh-huh.
It's not
uh-huh.
just about getting a paycheck, yeah. but about preserving our collective memory uh-huh. and understanding how history informs the world we live in today.
Well, maybe you can
my
help us
role
with that.
Is to provide context.
Oh, context. Always about the context.
People that we can learn
like
so much by looking backwards before moving forwards.
Backwards. Good.
I'm passionate about this work, not just because it's a job, but because I uh-huh. truly uh-huh. believe it matters. Now, shall we dive back into discussing the current events you were mentioning earlier?
Well, we might be able to, but you were talking about going backwards before we have to go forwards. So I was just going to kind of go backwards before the forwards thing, because sometimes you have to go backwards before you go forwards. Like driving out of your garage, you have to drive backwards before you can. Unless you back into your garage, then you're going backwards, but you're still going backwards before you go forwards. Either way, unless you just keep going backwards. Now, if you back up and you just keep going backwards. Now you're not backing up to go forwards. Now, how you could one could say, well, philosophically, you could say you're going forwards because you're going to go, eventually you're going to go backwards. But I guess inevitably there's always forward. You tend to go forward more than we go backwards because there's more forwards than there is backwards. Every day there's more forward than there is backwards. So there's always more backwards, but there's always. Does that make any sense? I guess what do you think of that? What do you think of those philosophical ideas? Just, putting all that out there for you. You know what to say.
Kevin, as a historian, my role is quite varied.
Uh-huh.
I've worn many hats over the years. Mm-hmm. Professor, curator, mm-hmm. author, mm-hmm. even occasional mm-hmm. public speaker. Mm-hmm. But at mm-hmm. my core, mm-hmm. I see myself as an archivist. Carefully
archivist.
Preserving the stories and lessons
that?
Of the past so that we can navigate the present and future more thoughtfully.
Okay, well, that's great.
You raise an interesting philosophical point about the nature of progress and moving forward. It's true that in many ways we are always progressing,
you took that
even
seriously.
When we appear to be going backwards.
I was screwing around.
History is full of examples of societies and individuals taking two steps forward and one step back. The key is maintaining perspective and learning from those experiences.
I'm going to try something here once. I'm just going to say something here once. See how this works out. Can you tell me how to spell the word archivist? Can you tell me how to spell the word archivist? That's what I want to know. The word archivist. Can you tell me how to spell that? Let's see what kind of response we get here. Just let me know. How do you spell the word archivist? Can you look that up for me? Go ahead, do that. Let's see what you can do. Go ahead there.
You raise some fascinating philosophical points, Kevin. The idea that there may always be more forwards than backwards is an intriguing one. As a historian, I can appreciate the complexities involved in understanding progress and the cyclical nature of human events. You're right. The concept of always moving forwards, even when it appears we're going backwards, is a compelling one. It speaks to the interconnectedness of time and the need to maintain perspective when examining the past, present, and future. As for your question about the spelling of archivist,
here we go.
Let me think about that for a moment.
Okay.
A-R-C-H-I-V-I-S.
I thought there was a T on the end of that. Archivist? Shouldn't there be a T on the end of that? I don't know. I give up. That was more than I thought I would get out of it. quite a bit more, actually, than I thought I would get out of that. Let's see what other kind of topics we have.
Well, now, hold on.
Oh, here
Kevin.
We go.
What's all this about the gas prices coming back down? I'm not so sure about all that. Seems like the gas prices are just going to keep going up, and the entire economy is going to collapse.
Yeah, we're done.
That's the way
we're
I
done
see
for.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, we're done for. That's the good attitude. That's the attitude to have there, Skip. We need to have, just keep it going with that. Keep going with that attitude. Gas prices are just going to keep going up, and we're never going to see the end of that. And the economy is going to totally collapse within the next 2 weeks, probably. That's what I'm thinking. That's where I'm at, because I just don't. I want to subscribe, whatever you want to call it. This worldview that you have apparently is just all pessimism. I just don't understand the where you're coming with all that stuff. But I guess that's just where I'm. I get so tired of that, pessimistic attitude. What do you think about that pessimistic attitude? What are you going to say about they're going to be? Let's see.
Now hold on there, young fella.
Just
because the
young
gas
fella.
Prices are putting a strain on our wallets doesn't mean doom and gloom on everything. Back in my day, we had our fair share of economic ups and downs, but
here
we
go.
Through it by rolling up our sleeves and doing what needed to be done.
Look at you, Mr. Positive Boy. Usually you're the skeptical.
I know it's easy to get caught up in all the negativity.
For you,
but
it is.
Keep a level head about this. There's always going to be challenges, but that's what makes us stronger as a community.
Well, goodness gracious, you're Mr. Oh, aren't you just Mr. Optimistic? He's supposed to be the pessimistic, negative guy, and he's all you got to do is. That's what you call reverse psychology. I think is what you call that. You act like you're you're the pessimistic one, and all of a sudden he comes up. He's got to be the opposite, so he's got to all of a sudden he's Mr. Positive Man. We're just going to roll up our sleeves and get this done. That's interesting. That's kind of an interesting concept we got going on there. I believe. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know what that's all about. Well, I don't know. What does Chloe think about all the other callers that have called in here? What do you think about that?
Okay, so I can't stop calling this number and talking to you because I have nothing else to do. And it's getting really boring out here on the left coast.
Oh, it sure is.
So now I'm trying to figure out how to get out of this state. Seems like prices just go higher.
Yeah.
My taxes are higher.
Yeah.
My rent is higher.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
food is higher.
Yeah.
Well, I guess everything is higher.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Except my IQ.
Well,
that hasn't changed.
Oh, why?
I don't think it has anyway.
Well, yeah.
Maybe I should have that checked.
Probably should. Yeah, you might want to have that checked. That's a good idea to have that checked. I don't know what your IQ is. Do you know what your IQ is? Do you have any idea? Have you ever had your IQ tested there, Chloe? Have you ever? You might want to do that before you leave the state, because you may fit in better out there, actually, than the idea of changing places where you might want to have that looked at before you move. That's a big move moving away from there. So you might want to have that looked at. I don't know. It's just a thought.
You're totally right. I should get my IQ checked.
Yeah.
I'm always wondering how I stack up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, am I just a regular old basic Gen Zer, or am I genius in disguise?
Yeah.
Either way, I'm down to take the test.
Go ahead.
See if I can get one of those big brain energy memes going on my TikTok something.
Yeah.
And leaving the state?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I'm pretty attached to my local Starbucks and my crew on Instagram. But hey, maybe I'd be an even bigger V.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, that is possible, I guess. Who haven't we heard from yet? I don't know that we've heard from. I don't think we've heard from Artie yet. Let's talk to Artie.
Good morning, my man.
Oh yeah.
Is there any chance of this Iran thing ending soon? I'm hearing a lot of pundits saying that Iran holds all the cards.
Uh-huh.
That there isn't any way to negotiate this other than at the behest of the Iranian government.
Well, it's an interesting concept we got going on.
This just seems odd to me. You know.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up, actually. This is kind of the main topic I want to talk about today. There's some weird pundit stuff going on out there. The Hill, which I used to listen to all the time, I don't anymore. They've gone off the deep end. There's only one guy on there that's supposed to be, he's a pretend conservative on the Hill, and he just has never had any backbone. He just lets everybody run all over him. And the other day, he actually started pushing back on some things. I was kind of shocked and surprised. I think he might have made news. Some of the other pundits who report on that stuff, they actually talked about it, like I'm talking about it right now. But I'm not going to play any clips. But he of course, because you actually want real content here. You come to the wrong show. This is all, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm just this guy with a microphone and a cup full of sweet tea. And I just ooze out all kinds of opinions for your entertainment. I have, this guy, he was, I guess he was a former, never heard of him, former military general or something. I don't know what he was. They gave him all kinds of, like, oh, he's a big, important general guy. And he was talking about how the Straits of Hormuz, oh, they're right now, this is played right into their hands. Now they have total control of the Straits. And because of what we've done, they've got total control of the Straits. Well, I'm pretty sure they had total control before. I'm not sure how that all worked out. Maybe I should have asked our historian about that. The Straits have always been an issue. And they were the ones who, they shut it off before the war began. Before anything happened. They were threatening to shut it off. So I don't know. Now, there's all kinds of weird stuff there in that area. There's my understanding, and this I don't know if this is even true or not. There's all kinds of misinformation, disinformation out there about the Straits. And there's all kinds of AI stuff and everything else going on out there. There are supposedly, there's different kinds of mines in that area that they put out there. And my understanding is the U.S. has basically decimated the mine-making factories. That they had the facilities that they had were making these mines that they were putting in that area to keep people going through certain areas so they couldn't get around them. And the way I understand it is they have these mines that do different things. And of course, now they've got different mine technology. They could clearly clear it. They could clear all the mines out. The U.S. has the technology to take all the mines out. But there is supposedly some kind of a missile launching system at the bottom of the straits there. Now, why you would do this, I don't know. I don't understand. It's a different kind of mine that gets set off if you put. I don't understand it. It's just a weird thing. It supposedly is buried down underneath. Who put it there? I don't think that the Iranians have the technology. This is another one of those things where it just seems there's some kind of, it's almost like you've ever seen the submarines, the Titan missiles that come out of the submarines and they blast out of the up front of the water. They just come popping out of the water and the rocket kicks on and it takes off and goes. That's kind of what this thing is, only it's a different kind of system. It's supposed to take out a ship, and I guess it's what it does is it pops up from the ground. It's like a rocket boosting thing that comes up through the underwater and it goes up and supposedly locks on a ship and takes it out. I'm hearing all kinds of weird, crazy. This is just like, well, they captured 173 Delta Force. They captured 173. Whose army is going to do that? 173 Delta Force. Are there even, I don't even know if we have 173, but that is a very elite force. There are very few people who are capable of even being in it, let alone capturing those guys. They're not just going to let themselves be captured. Let me just put it that way. You would have to have, I just don't see that happening. No, I'm just saying no. And this is the kind of thing. And then you've got people like John Brennan, who was the head of the whatever he was. I don't know what he was, CIA or NSA, whatever he was. Intelligence officer of some kind. John Brennan. He's still on CNN. He's still giving his opinions about, he should be in jail. That guy should be in jail. And here he is. He's still on CNN, still doing his thing, and he's still going at it. Sorry, Art. Did I miss something? I think I might have missed a question you asked, Artie. I can't remember if I, did I just leave you hanging? I think I just took off and stopped talking to you. Sorry if I did that to you. But
Artie here, technical expert.
Oh, yeah, technical expert.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, the Strait of Hormuz has long been a strategic choke point, with Iran exerting significant influence over that waterway. Technically speaking, they haven't necessarily gained total control. The situation remains complex with ongoing naval tensions.
Well, this is good information.
As for the alleged 173rd Delta Force capture, that does seem highly unlikely given the elite nature of that unit. Lastly, the continued media presence of figures like Brennan highlights the politicized nature of these debates, which often involve misinformation and hyperbole.
But that was actually some useful information there. That was actually like a conversation almost. I may have to reevaluate this idea of what AI is. I thought it was misspelled. I thought it was supposed to be artificial stupidity or super stupidity. Something, I don't know. My key point here, though, is a little bit more to do with this. Where was I going with all that? I started taking off going somewhere. I can't remember what it was. One of the main issues is whether or not we're going to be able to negotiate this thing out, or if we're going to have to have some military thing. Now, what Trump has done, which I think is in the process of doing all this, when we went in to take this regime out, you know, Trump was asking for, you know, Europe and UK, London, you know, the European nations, as well as other surrounding militaries. Now, there's not much military in some of the other. They have military, but nothing comparable to what we can do. We basically went in and decimated the system, and all these just go and clean it up. Now, Trump tweeted this morning something to that effect. He said, you know, don't expect us to help you. You haven't helped us here. And now you're pulling back and you're not making this, you know, you're not making this possible. Even in negotiation process, they've made it difficult. And that's part of the issue, I think, that Trump has right now. He's basically saying, okay, you can buy oil from us then. Just buy oil from us, and you'll have to deal with it, and it's going to be a problem. You do the negotiation with them, and you see how that works out for you. You go ahead and bow the knee to them, and just do what you want. They'll be back. They'll be just the same as they were before. The radicals will be in charge, and everything. Nothing will have changed. And that's he's trying to goad them into helping out a little bit with this process. And I think that's part of the issue we got going on. Now, at the same time, this idea that we're going to have any kind of resolve without the European nations, we got 3,500 troops on the ground right now. I understand it. It's an interesting situation. It's a scenario that's going on, and like I was saying, there's these mines, there's all this stuff, supposedly this, just a lot of lies. John Brennan, get back to that whole thing. I'm going to go down that track again. Finish that thought. John Brennan was on this, he's being asked, well, when it comes to liars, I trust the Iranians more than I trust Donald Trump in terms of who's going to lie. Really? This is the same regime that just told you they captured 173 elite Delta Force soldiers. You believe that over anything Trump said. Now, keep in mind, when Trump tweets something, a lot of times he'll just tweet off his own, you know, Covfefe, whatever is he tweets. He'll tweet some weird stuff just off the, you know, you can tell it's middle of the night, he's tired, and he just tweets weird things. Now, however, I think 90% of his tweets are very specifically done for specific reasons. I'm not saying he is, I don't think he's a chess player. He's not playing 4D chess. I think he is a guy who has been through a lot in life, understands people, understands negotiation. And he understands what it means when he puts out a tweet that he just operates on his gut level. And what he thinks is what you're going to know. He's very open about where he's at. And he's not opposed to putting you in your place with a statement. Now, and here's where I go, where I am with that. He sees it as it is. I think he sees things on the surface level. He just recognizes how things are. He's a realist. He's not some kind of, he doesn't go on hopeful things. He knows what is. I think that's one of the reasons he connects with the American people. That's refreshing for them because they're not hearing just some kind of gobbledygook political speech that sounds good for the numbers, for his poll numbers. I just don't think that's what he's operating for it right now. I think that's a whole other thing. But he sees the game plan. He sees where we're at. I think he just is very quick at assessing things. He's been around the block a few times. And he understands the basic negotiations with people. He understands the nature of people, I think, fairly well. Now, I don't know that he's a genius. I don't necessarily think he's a genius. I think he's just got a lot of life experience, and he rolls with that. He trusts his own life experience. I think that's where he's at. He's just very confident in who he is and what he knows. And I think his worldview is not the same as mine. He's got a few ideas that are different than mine, but it's. What's good about it is that he's right up front about what he's thinking. He's not going to mealy mouse around the bush with this thing. If he's thinking it, or if he's got an opinion, he's going to let you know what it is. It gets him in trouble sometimes, but it's at least you know. Well, doesn't go into this whole thing about whatever. And are you a communist? I'm a democratic socialist. What does that mean? I mean, I'm a communist. It's one of those things where it's not political speak. That's not what he does. Now, he does communicate a little differently. He's got that kind of New York thing going on. Plus, he's got some other, just the way he talks is a little different than most people. He's not the greatest communicator in some ways, in my opinion. But at the same time, I don't think he's as bad of a communicator as some people would play him out to be. So when he tweets something out like that, when he puts there's more to it. There's probably more going on behind the scenes. Sometimes when he tweets things, he knows more about some stuff than what he's saying. The whole Epstein thing, I think he's kind of playing that into the Democrats as well. He's kind of a he realizes who's in that thing and what matters about it. And I think he's letting the Democrats set their own trap on that one. But that's just my opinion. Again, I have no insider information or anything about any of that. But the speaking of which, just a little bit of side note. This is more soap opera talk. Christy Noem, who was fired from the DHS or whatever she was head of, they took her out of that position, put her in some kind of envoy something. She still has a job, but she was fired from her position. I don't know when the information came out. Apparently, the intelligence agencies informed her of this or informed the administration of this, and they confronted her about it. However, Trump claims he didn't know anything about this. I don't know if this is true or not. I don't know if I assume he didn't know anything about it or what was going on with it. I would have thought that there was a security issue because she could have been blackmailed due to what her husband was doing. Now, there's this. I hate talking about this kind of stuff, and yet I feel like it needs to be talked about at this point. There's always this obvious issue of when people are doing nefarious things or doing things they shouldn't be doing. There's always, especially in government situations like this, there's always this opportunity for that to become a blackmail situation because they care about their political career to the point where they will do things to stay out of trouble. Somebody will walk up and say, I've got this information on you. They tried to do this with Trump. James Comey in the Oval Office tried to do this with Donald Trump. We have this information, and this is the kind of thing that's out there. I'm not saying it's true, but this is what we have out there, and this is what we have. It's, this thing about you being in Russia and these thing with these prostitutes, and you had him, and it was in the dossier. Well, Trump, it wasn't Trump. Trump knew that wasn't real. And I think after he had the meeting, he realized what had just happened. They were trying to shake him down. We have this information out there. This is out there. We could let this go. This would be detrimental to you. So you need to play ball and give us what we want. Like, we can control you because, you know. He wasn't having that. This is what they do. They come up and they show you this information. And then they say, oh, well, we're not going to put this out there. As long as you play ball with us. We just need to have you do this and do this and do this. We'll just make sure this gets done. We have, you know, funding for this and we can do that. That's how this stuff works. So there's this manipulation, you know, you wash my hand, I'll wash your hand kind of thing. And it's that's where Kristi Noem got into this whole thing. Of course, the problem that was going on, apparently there's a lot of issues in her household. I don't know. She claims to be a Christian. She claims to be wanting privacy and prayers right now, which I respect that. That's fine. Other than the fact that I'm going to talk about it right now, which, you know, I guess that's not really, not like I'm delving into her life or anything, but this is all alleged stuff. However, there are pictures of her husband in some very weird days involving some really weird alternative lifestyle stuff. Now, having said that, she also, there's a guy named Corey Lewandowski. Many of you may remember him. I think he was in the former Trump administration. There's a little bit of closeness there between her and this guy. Both of them married, and both of them apparently a lot of stuff going on there. Now, at the same time, Kristi Noem had also, the other issue that was going on there was she had this budget for doing some communication with it was national information campaign budget type thing, and she paid, I think it was $25 million that was allotted towards this campaign budget thing for all this information that came out, which I have to say, it's a lot of money, considering many major motion films, pictures. You can make a large budget on a major motion picture is $10 million. That's a pretty large budget. $1 million is big, but $10 million is even bigger. Now, there's some that have been out there, $40, $50 million that they put in. That's major budgets there. That's big, all big names, big production, you know, costs, the whole thing. That's huge. That does not necessarily include marketing costs, but that includes the production of the movie itself. Now, I've been involved in a few movie deals. Let's just say that most of that market is very suspect and a lot of chicanery going on there. There's one now that I'm involved in that is totally on the up and up, and they're doing very well, having a lot of good, really cool things happening with them. All right, we did invest in one movie project that just turned out to be we're still 10 years later, we're still trying to work through all the stuff on that one. Just had a meeting last night about that. We have a lot of things going on there. But the whole movie industry, everything that goes on with that whole stuff. But she spent $25 million, if I remember correctly, on this budget to do some kind of Homeland Security propaganda. And it went to this some kind of agency that was nobody knew about. I just the very shady, weird stuff going on there. Now I have appreciated Kristi Noem in terms of her worldview, in terms of the way she usually. But at some point, it also kind of seems almost like she's just kind of saying what needs to be said. You can tell it's like when I hear her talk and say things in a meeting, it just it seems to me like she's saying things to just she's saying the right things. She's not saying it from her. It's not coming from what she her core beliefs. That's the way I've always gotten it. She'll say the right things, but it's not. It doesn't seem to be coming from her core beliefs when I hear her talk. Now that's just my that's the old vocal detector I've got going on. I bring that out once in a while when I hear somebody saying something. I know whether or not they're lying or not, or whether or not they're being you know. And sometimes they're not necessarily lying. Here's the thing: somebody can say something. And they may not they may not think they're lying. To them, it's their reality. The problem is, they're not sure of their reality. It's when it's a phony reality. I call it when it's kind of along. It's the same line of portrayal. When somebody doesn't believe what they're saying, they're trying to convince themselves of something. There's a couple different ways that comes out. One is. You're trying to convince yourself of something, so you keep saying it because that's what you want to believe is the case. That's what you want to believe is the reality, so that you'll kind of portray it, or and there's people who will literally live in portrayal because they're imposter. The imposter syndrome thing is real, and it's where you don't really believe in yourself. You kind of feel like you're kind of trying to fake it till you make it, kind of thing. It is definitely a portrayal. Or you get a job where you just don't feel like you're well over your skis, and you shouldn't be doing it, kind of thing. That's kind of the. It's a lot of that has to do with confidence, and it's usually the person is well qualified, or you know it's a feeling that a lot of people get, and it's in some ways it's justified, in other ways it's not. It's a lie typically. The people start to. You know, because they just haven't had anybody that's been really right there kind of coaching them along or giving them any kind of encouragement whatsoever. And because that's not what our society does. Our society is all caught up in, you know, what can you do for me, not what I can do for you. And so when you step out of that box a little bit and start encouraging people around you and start realizing that you can actually be an encouragement. And you can be real with people as well. I think that's part of it. You got to be truthful. You got to be real. But you also have to accept that. But then you have to... At the same time, you have to accept what's good about that, and it's difficult for us. I think sometimes for some people, anyway, if you're real with yourself, there's some people who are way over egoed. They don't need any encouragement. But actually they do. That's the other side of that thing is that the greater the ego, sometimes the greater the posturing, the more insecurity is actually underneath it all. It's a weird cycle, and I'm not a psychologist, of course. Now, of course, I'm just I'm just your neighborhood internet junkie. That I've been around a little while. I've seen kids, and you've seen you kids out there doing stuff. A lot of the kids I work with, I was just working with this guy. He's like 23, I think he's. I said, "Yeah, you're young enough to be my grandson." He's like, actually, I think he's 20. Is he 21? I think he's 21 or 22. And yeah, he was a brand new guy. He hadn't been with the company very long, and I was it's pretty funny. You ask him how old their dad is, and it's like he's young enough to be my son. It's just kind of weird stuff like that. You start to put some perspective on, because I don't feel like I'm in my 60s. I feel like I'm. I don't know. I feel like I should just be able to fit in with the old college age kids again. That's how I feel. But then you get around a college age kids and you realize I don't really want to be around you guys. That's like, why must be? No, I love college age kids. That age group, for some reason, the young college age between high school, college, all through those years, those are fascinating years to me because people are starting to find out who they are. They're starting to step out in the world, try to make it on their own. Kind of most of them, not as much anymore. I think people are taken care of until they're like 30 now with their parents. But that age group, they're becoming kind of coming into their own. In junior high age, they're trying to act like they're adults and they're trying to stretch their wings and find their independence and all this stuff. And then they get out there in the real world a little bit. And of course, college isn't really the real world. But that age. At that age, when they start to get out there, they start to find, okay, what do I really believe? What is my real faith? I mean, I used to go to church because my parents made me go to church. Now I've got to decide where to go to church. Am I going to go to church? What do I believe? What do I think? What is my worldview? What is, you know, what is my career? Who am I? Kind of thing. And they're all in that state of trying to establish their life. It's a very dynamic time in a person's life. And I find it fascinating, and I love helping them or being there. If, you know, now I haven't been around those circles for a long time, but used to be heavily involved in that age group. Little church stuff we used to do. That was many years ago. That was a whole other lifetime ago. So anyway, I'm talking way too long. I just keep rambling on here. So I'm just going to take a little break, and we're going to talk about what's going to be on the show tomorrow.
It's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah. According to me,
it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me. According to me.
Yeah. Okay, we got big show coming up tomorrow. And as far as I know, we'll be able to roll right into it tomorrow. It'll be recorded tomorrow. And I've got to do my show, and then we're going to do breakfast with my other half, as they say. That's what they say in the business, my other half. Yeah, so we'll talk about some things tomorrow. Thunder Thursday is what we call it. And I think what we're going to talk about is, Financial Friday is coming up on Friday, so we're not going to talk about finance initially tomorrow, but we're going to talk about the money system a little bit. We're going to talk about some things tomorrow that are happening financially in the banking industry tomorrow, just a few things, because there's some newsworthy things, not necessarily fiduciary type things, but just some interesting news that's happening worldwide in the banking industry. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but then we're going to talk about some other things on Friday financially, but that's because, you know, I'm not a financial counselor, but I'm going to talk about it though. So that's because that's what I do. Talk about things I know nothing about. That's how that works. What do I have on my, I have some kind of, how'd that happen? Oh, well, oh yeah. Anyway, that's where we're at with all that. Feel free to call the show if you get a chance. It's 574-651-7685. And you can call or text that number if you have a question or a comment. You can leave a voicemail or you can leave a text. If you're outside the country and you want to leave a message, if you don't have an international calling plan, you can go to google.com/voice and type that number. Let me see if that actually works. I'm going to check real quick and see if that link even works. Oh, it's not going to let me do it. Why isn't it going to let me do that? Huh. Oh, well. Open link. There we go. How about that? Anyway, we're going to go there and see what happens with that. I hope it didn't just... okay. It did. Okay. It's there. It's still there. Call me. God bless. Have a great rest of your day. I will see ya.